Dan Mintz is principal of ESEM Consulting and former chief information officer at the Department of Transportation. My colleague Jason Miller reporting inside the reporter's notebook under the title Wishful FISMA Thinking that perhaps the last set of annual FISMA reports are coming from agency inspectors general. And that inspector general's piece is the piece of this, Dan, that you think is the most significant. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's certainly something that stood out for me. When I was at the Department of Transportation, one of the things you had to deal with is you had a multiplicity of oversight organizations, GAO and OMB, as well as one of the inspectors general associated with your department or if you're a large agency. And dealing with GAO and all of these oversight organizations are both because they're oversight, you know, there's always a little bit of a contentious kind of relationship. But if you're smart about it, they're also a potential partner because the ultimate goal is the same both for your organization and them, which is to have better and in this case more secure IT operations within government. And you can often use these various oversight organizations to help you leverage your own bureaucracy to do things that the organization would otherwise not do with you. With GAO and OMB, I was able to work that, but I didn't have the same sense of the inspectors general collectively as a community trying to solve problem, which would give them a lot more authority. If it existed, I didn't see it. But what struck me about Jason Miller's article was the fact that the inspectors general had gotten together and were attempting to pull together collectively a different approach to FISMA.
We see that more with the inspector general community collaborating on a number of different things. They sent a letter recently to leaders in Congress about availability and access to information vis-a-vis audits and investigations that they're conducting and a lot of other things. What's the benefit that you expect to see long term out of this collaboration, whether it's about IT or more broadly focused or whatever, Dan?
So there's a number of benefits. First of all, when they do something collectively, it has more authority. So the reality is that no one wants, the last thing you want to do is to be called up on the Hill for doing something wrong. And there's a certain safety in numbers so that if you're the only one doing something, you're more likely to, even if it's the right thing, if it turns out there's a bump in the road, you're more likely to get into public trouble. But if you're collectively doing it, at least it's more defensible. When the and particularly in these cases when people are pushed in different directions, when the inspectors general get together and do something together, it means it's more likely to be done consistently across all the government, which means that you're more likely to be willing to invest the resources to do it. And it also means that you're more likely to get it right, because like anything else, the more practice you get at doing a specific thing, the better you are at doing it.
As the inspectors general continue this effort, are there steps that they can take in particular to pretend better results from the IT community, or do you think it's just more of this collaboration in and of itself that will produce the desired results?
Just doing it at all is a plus, but I would think that there should be a collaborative kind of relationship, understanding their different roles between the Federal CIO Council and the Inspectors General, so that the organizations are working together when possible, so that there's agreement on approach and things like that. Again, the value is it's easier to justify the investment of resources if there's consistency, and there's the additional advantage that the more you do these things, the better at it you're going to get. When the requirements change from organization to organization, so that I'm making it up, if the Department of Labor has to do it one way and the Department of the Interior has to do it another way, and the Department of Transportation has to do it a third way, it's very difficult to do it right.
I wonder what the relationship is, if any, the collaborative relationship between the CIO Council, the CAO Council, all these others, and the Council of Inspectors General on Integrity and Efficiency, the SIGE. That point that you make is a logical one, that there should be some kind of interaction between those two.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar in terms of what's going on now. I know when I was there, there wasn't. It didn't exist, at least not government-wide.
Dan Mintz of ESEM Consulting, formerly the CIO at the Transportation Department, talking about inspectors general submitting their set of annual FISMA reports. The story's on federalnewsradio.com, my colleague Jason Miller writing it inside the reporter's notebook. The part of this, Dan, that jumped out at me the most is the point that Jason pulled out of the State Department's report. The State Department doubled the cybersecurity budget of the Chief Information Security Officer and the Bureau of Information Resource Management to $14 million in 2013, in part to hire, Jason writes, contractors to better comply with FISMA. And Jason writes, therein lies the biggest problem with FISMA, that money went not to improve its cybersecurity or better protect its data, but to comply with the law. And I guess that's why there are a number of your peers still in government that are hoping that this is one of the last batches of FISMA reports they have to submit. Because if states spent $14 million just to better comply with FISMA, I imagine that there are other agencies doing the same or maybe spending more.
You know, it's a problem it's a problem that has been a continual problem and is easier to identify than to solve. And that is managing to compliance as opposed to solving the problem. And there is a reasonable possibility we'll move from one set of compliance issues to a different set of compliance issues. I mean, you have the problem that one of the big problems in government is prioritization. And so one of the things, if you're really going to want to do this, one of the things you have to come up with is a risk management approach that has sufficient authority and believability that all the various stakeholders, including the oversight community, is comfortable with. Because the problem you have is if you say you have 10 things to do and you're going to invest in 7 and not invest in 3, and that's the right thing to do, but something goes wrong with the 3 you didn't invest in, you get into trouble. And so people do what's called peanut buttering. They spread the resources across everything, which solves nothing.
Well, and you also send the message that those 3 aren't really important, because everybody in government at every level, I think, at this point in time, understands that if there's no money, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, but the reality is that you have to do risk management and you have to prioritize. One of the things some of the articles that Jason has written about quotes Alan Paller, who's a big believer in this, and I'm very supportive of it, that the reality is that the vast majority of cyber problems relate to a relatively small number of the many, many controls and approaches that are done in the cyber area. So if you don't invest where the problems are, which means you're going to invest a little bit less in those other areas, you'll never solve anything. And that's very difficult to do.
Now, Jason does mention a story that he did back in February, writing about the Council of IG's effort, he writes, to develop a new maturity model for agency cybersecurity as a way to get away from the typical FISMA assessment that many believe has little value. But right now, you can't get too far away from that, because by law, you still have to comply with that. The agencies do, and the inspectors general are supposed to submit these reports. Congress requires them to.
Yeah, so the two comments there. The first is the approach of having maturity models is one that people in government and in the support community are very comfortable with. There's a set of procedures called ITIL, which involves operational structure that has different levels. There's for software development, things like that, there's what's called the CMMI model, which has different levels. So the thought of having defined levels of maturity where you do the first one first and the second one second and so on is something that people organizationally are very comfortable with approaching. So it's a good idea. And the reality is you generally don't become a master at something unless you are good at the things that lead up to that. So it's reasonable. The interesting problem with the law, it's exactly right. And part of the problem is that Congress typically has focused on a lot of the details as opposed to trying to come up with the performance characteristics you're trying to perceive or to achieve. So the reason why you have to go back for legislative change is rather than saying, you have to hit some kind of standard or some kind of performance characteristic. Instead, the law is very specific about what they're trying to measure. It would be better if Congress said we want to achieve these goals, whatever they are, and gave the various agencies and departments some flexibility in terms of how they implemented it, which would mean you wouldn't have to keep going back for legislative changes. For a variety of reasons, that right now there's a certain lack of trust between the legislative branch and the executive branch, not just in IT, and I wonder if there's enough willingness on the Congress's part to give that flexibility to the executive branch, since they're fighting over that in other areas right now.
We just have a minute or so left, Dan, but I wonder if it's always hard to figure out who should go first in a trust rebuilding situation. But I wonder if, given what we see with the legislative branch versus the executive branch in other areas, if this might be one where the executive branch could go first and say, listen, we'll do X, whatever X is deemed to be appropriate, in order, as a demonstration of kind of a token of first movement.
Well, I will say, in the IT area, there has been some actual bipartisan working together. So it's conceivable this can be used as a place where government can work. I mean, you had bipartisan get together on the Data Act, where you had people from across the aisle that supported that. You may, and there seems to be support for redoing, again, across the aisle in terms of the cyber area. I will say the other thing that Jason referenced about the fact that maybe a bunch of small bites rather than one enormous meal in this case might be the right way to go.